Okay, guys, let's continue. Our last point was the lesson number 3, see others as God sees them. And I was thinking about that point. Just look at us. Look around you. Look around this room. And people actually saw us the way God sees us. I appreciate the people around us that discipled us, that saw something beyond, you know. How many of you are glad that the people that discipled you saw something? Left to ourselves, di ba? When you look at ourselves in the mirror, parang wala naman tayong silbi, di ba? Parang, but praise God. You know, when I see Pastor Jerome, I've known Pastor Jerome when he was still a businessman, the early days when he was a businessman, and, you know, Pastor Steve knows him very well, and I see him. Actually, Jerome, when I saw you, I knew at some point that you were going to jump in and become a leader. And you know, everyone here, like Pastor Julius Kalaykay, some of you know him in Baguio, when he became the pastor of the church, God was calling me back to Manila. So this is a true story. So they all asked me, Pastor Steve, June, and all our leaders basically asked me, so who's going to take your place? And I said, his name is Julius. He's gonna take my place. Who's he? And then I told him he was part of the church and, you know, and all of that. But to give you a background of Pastor Julius, just to give you, Pastor Julius is an amazing man. I mean, he's a man of character. I've known him when he was 19 years old. Pastor Julius Kalaykay grew up in a school basement. His father was a janitor of that school. And he grew up in that basement, and he got saved. And so when I left, I said it was Julius. There were different people that did not see him as the one who could take the church. So Pastor Steve basically told me, why don't you tell him to come down here to Manila? I'd like to interview him. And so he came down here, and then Pastor Steve had a private meeting with him and the leaders and all of that. After that, Pastor Steve came out of the room. He came to me and said, he's your man. He's the man that should take the church. And to make the long story short, he took the church. I left the church of 200, and now the church is over 2,000 people. And when I walk the streets of Baguio, I mean, the vice mayor would greet him, and people would greet him, and I'm just amazed when I look at him. And the funny thing about it, Julius would always look at me and say, he calls me the same way he calls me when he was 19 years old. He calls me Kuya Joe. He calls me the same Kuya. He never changes. The funny thing when I'm talking to Julius, he's like a kid. He'll ask me all these questions, but then when he goes up in the pulpit, when he mingles with people, it's almost like he changes into a different man. It's almost like, parang ang dual personality, ah. Parang sabi ko, pag sa akin, parang like, you know, because that's because of that respect that he still gives, but it gives me as one who helped him up in the Lord. But sometimes, you, all of you that are here today, there's going to be some things that you will see that the people around you will not see. There are some people that you're discipling right now that you see potential in them, but you ask other people, huh, Sha? That's why don't fear when you see something in people, because many times it's you that God gives the vision for that person. And don't be afraid to see and declare that he might be the one. And amen? See others as God sees them. Number 4, do not walk alone. Do not walk alone. Lesson number 4. The next day, John was there again with 2 of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. So you see the picture, Jesus coming, and then he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. If that happened to you, how would you feel? Ito sabihin na natin, I was walking with maybe Richard and walking with Ricky. We're walking. And sabi ko lang, uy! You know, wow! You know, there's the Lamb of God. Manny Carlos, the Lamb of God. Then all of a sudden, without saying goodbye to me, Ricky and Richard goes, sige, goes to follow Manny, and then it was okay with John the Baptist. Is it okay with us that people that we disciple, that we pour our life into, will eventually somebody, and is it okay with you that they actually leave you and go there? Because you know why? Because John the Baptist recognized that his prophetic ministry was not enough to make his disciples grow to the fullness where God wants them to be. He recognizes the apostolic ministry of Jesus, that he recognized that in order for my disciples to grow, they need what Jesus has. So it was okay for him, for this too, without question, to follow another a ministry that would help them. And so that point, do not walk alone. It's so important that even as local churches, that you have to see your strength. I'm very prophetic. That's my strength. But when I was pastoring in Malaysia, in Penang, I would invite Ferdy Kabiling. He would go there. He would bring in a very evangelistic spirit in the church because that was my weakness. I mean, sometimes I would bring different people that would have an anointing that was different than mine. And many times I would, for a season, tell them to follow them because that I know it would help them. And countless times I've seen people go to another Victory Church or go to another, because ultimately when we disciple people, we want to see them fulfill God's call and not to enhance our call. Because sometimes when we look at people, sometimes, Lord, God called me to do this. God called me to do this. Oh, kailangan ko to. But sometimes, God uses individuals in another lane. And sometimes it will not be your vision for the city, for a region. And so, it is imperative, it is so important that you really walk with people that are different than you. And even allow the people that you disciple to even, you know, learn or glean from them. Any comments from that? Anything? Anybody want to say anything? Anybody ever experienced that? Yung ganon, yung that, or anybody you know that get offended because, you know, they went to. When I was young in the Lord, I normally get. Can I be honest with you? I get hurt when they leave and they go to another Victory Church. But when I was a young minister, tapos I would get really insecure because I would say, ano bang meron dyan na wala ako? Ano bang meron dito dyan sa church na yan? Bakit? So I would really get insecure, not realizing that person needed more than what I could give. Because at some point, meron limit rin yung mabibigay natin sa disciples natin eh. And sometimes, in order for them to grow, they need something else that hindi natin mabibigay. And so, it's okay to release them so that they may grow in their walk with God. Remember I told you earlier that really it's really helping people see Jesus, not us. And so that's the, I think in the onset, I think we need to have that mentality. Anyway, anybody wants to make a comment with that point?
And Pastor.
Yes.
I don't remember where I heard this, but since we value leadership development, as a coach or as a mentor, our goal is not to fill our coaches' cup. We pour what we have in them. But our goal is not to fill them, because God will use other leaders to fill them up. Our goal is just to empty ourselves into them so that they can start with we position them for success, learning from our experiences. But our goal is not to fill them up.
That's good, Arthur. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm thinking lang, Pastor, yung kanren, yung as a senior leader, mayroon yung mga times na you feel like parang nagpapaalam yung isa sa mga staff mo or leader mo or one of your disciple. you feel like parang it's hindi pa time. And then pipilit niya parang ganon. So paano yung kan natin dito? Ano yung demarcation line ng faithfulness sa nila, yung, you know what I mean?
O gusto na pumunta sa ibang ministry or
kundi? Yeah, ibang ministry, ibang leader, ganon, o nagpapaalam, or one of your staff like that, then you feel like naman sa'yo, you feel like parang hindi pa time.
Yeah. Well, ano yan eh, there are factors eh. There are different factors. One, it could be true that they, maybe God is speaking to them to go to another ministry, to another staff. Number two, you have to learn to investigate in a way na parang hindi, it could also be relational, maybe my offense, my kunwari, nasaktan, hindi mo alam na nasaktan na pala. So sometimes you just have to learn to discern how to find out what's going on with that person. Sometimes kung hindi mo talaga malaman and they really want to go. In fact, we had a member in our church in Malaysia, one of our prolific doctor pa naman to, leader, na biglang lumapit sa akin para talagang ano, pinapawisan siya, yung talagang ano. Tapos pero nagpaalam siya, sabi niya, Pastor, sabi niya, the Lord is calling us to another church. Tapos sabi ko, I looked at her, sabi ko, really? Sabi ko, kaya what church? Kumano siya. Tapos sabi niya, describe the church. Oh, I know the pastor. Oh, that's a fantastic church. Gumanong pa ako. Tapos yung mukha niya, parang nagtataka siya. Sabi niya, tapos sabi niya sa akin, Pastor, the Lord's really calling us to that church. Sabi ko, and I investigate. Sabi ko, why are you not happy anymore in the church? No, Pastor, I love the church. I'm happy. But I really feel like my friends are there and I feel like I'm going to grow and flourish there. And then sabi ko, okay, why don't we do this? Sabi ko, when do you plan to move? And then it gave me the date. And then, you know what? That weekend, I honored this girl in the church and then even, in fact, prayed for her and released her. Pag wala naman issue, pag wala naman, then it's okay. Pero there's times na lam. Sometimes they just don't want to tell you. Oh, pero, so pag gaganyan, pag usually pag yung leader, you ask a staff member, tanong mo naman kung bakit, ano may ano ba sa akin yan? Is there anything that has happened that caused her to go? Pag meron, then it will be a good opportunity for you to go to that person and just say, apologize or whatever. And then if they still want to go, sometimes kasi we feel like hindi pa time, but sometimes for them, time na sa kanila. So, any comment? I don't know. Did anybody here ever experience that? Yung staff, yeah. Ikaw, anong ginawa mo?
In sa amin naman iba. Yung, there was one instance kung saan, a group of live back staff, nagpunta sila sa isang lugar. So happen, yung mga live back staff namin, volunteer din sila sa music team. So nagkatan sila ng service doon, church planting pa lang. So, they asked naman permission to the pastor, did pastor doon to somehow to observe. Ngayon, yung group of live back staff na to, kinorek yung mga, siguro the way they worship, yung tugtugan, kinorek yung mga kondo. May mga some adjustments lang na itinuro, impartation.
Okay.
So what happened, nag-share yung mga musicians doon, nag-open dun sa lead pastor doon, and because of that, in-open yung sa meeting namin, nasabi, yung mga musicians doon sa particular place na yon got offended doon sa mga sinabi. And nung ina-ask namin sino yung mga nagsabi, parang sinabi nila na hindi nila pwedeng sabihin. And because of that, na-offend yung mga live back staff na bakit hindi namin pwedeng malaman. Ganun. So I think, ang natutunan namin as leaders, we need to push our people to other person na we can help na kung saan pwede silang tulungan in that area. And because parang ayaw nilang tumanggap ng na matuto, kasi dapat kami lang yung mag-feed yan or something like that.
Yeah. Anybody, any comment? Yeah.
Pastor, I like to comment on what Pastor Fidel's experience.
Yeah.
No, I had this one student na classmate ni Kix na sa School of Campus Ministry was supposed to help in Santa Cruz. So she was helping in the church plant, in the youth ministry there. And then I noticed na she's not really that comfortable anymore, and parang she wants to go back to our mother church, yung, which is Los Baños. And then I talked to her, then I found out nga na parang gusto niya na talaga bumalik, and she feels like God is calling her there. And then sabi ko sa kanya, kasi ang hirap na sabi ko sa kanya, pero she's willing to help pa rin in Santa Cruz. Pero sabi ko sa kanya, it will be very difficult for you to help both churches in your capacity right now. But I want you to find your calling. I want you to pursue what God has called you to do, what's burning in your heart. Sabi ko sa kanya, kung ano yung feeling mo yung hindi ka makakatulog, ay nag-fail tong ministry na to, hindi ako makakatulog. And then after praying about it, sabi niya, doon pa rin ako sa Los Baños. So sabi ko, sige, I'll allow her. Kaysa naman nandito ka, hirap na hirap ka. Yes, you're helping me. I need you. Wala naman akong staff pa. So, pero I want to pursue your calling. Kaysa yung pareho tayo nahihirapan kasi nabibitin ako sa'yo kasi hindi mo naman calling
tama,
to.
That's good.
So, pero yun, calling mo. At least I know what to expect and kung hanggang saan yung pwede mong maibigay. Then yun, I let her go and decided na balik na siya sa Los Baños to do the ministry there.
At saka meron rin practical side. There's also a transition time also. Halimbawa, meron ang responsibility dito sa simbahan. Try to bargain or say na maybe, lalo na kung may big event pa yung church nyo, can you please, maybe the next 3 months, can we work a transition so that we can all, it gives us time also to look for a replacement for you.
Yes, nagkaroon po ng transition na ganun. I was about to get married. And then I took a leave of, I think, almost a month or more than a month, around 1 month. And then sabi ko, please do take care muna of the campus ministry while I was away. Then please do transitions to our volunteers na lang yung mga responsibilities. And then pag-alis mo, para pagbalik ko, kasado pa rin kami, set pa rin kami, and then you can do your ministry na in Los Baños again. So may ganun po. Nag-bargain ako for another month.
That's good. Yeah.
Tanong ko lang, Pastor. We had this couple before kasi at the early stage of the church, 2 years ago in Tanawan. They were from another ministry, and obviously they were leaders in their ministry, and eventually they joined our church, yung church planting, and medyo divisive. And so what I did was, kinausap ko, series of talks, and eventually sabi ko, don't perform any leadership function muna. Huwag ka mag-lead ng victory group or ano.
Ah, pero previously nag-leading a victory group, yeah, and all that.
Oo. Pero nung church na, 3 months after the launch, so medyo lumalabas yung alam mo yun?
So yung sabi, sungay.
Yeah. Okay. Oo, nakakasungay talaga. So, after series of talks, talaga hindi kami magkasundo. Sabi ko sa kanya, kasi factor din kasi na nalaman ko hindi pala sila originally from Victory eh. And then sabi ko, bro, siguro ganito muna. Don't perform any leadership function. Wala ka munang leadership role. Kung nahirapan ka sa kultura ng Victory, observe from the outside muna. And then, pero anong nangyari, umalis na lang sila. Tapos they tried to
bring people.
Oo. Oo, pinupuntahan yung ibang leaders, kinakausap, pero wala namang sumama eh. Pero ang tanong ko lang ganito. After kasi umalis sila, ano eh, nainis din kasi ako eh. I did not make any effort. Hindi ako nag-effort na puntahan sila, kausapin up to this time. Para bang tuwa pa nga ako eh. So,
actually, bro, blessing yun eh.
That's what I felt. Pero hindi ko sila kinausap eh. Parang hindi ko na, I mean,
hindi, they left rin eh. I mean, wala naman silang desire pakipag-usap din. So, actually, ganun eh. Sometimes I have people like that eh. That I wanted to share that sa last point ko. Kasi there are people in our, sa church ko when I was in Baguio, there was a guy there na talagang gusto ko, talagang, Lord, sana palisin mo na, Lord, parang gusto na, I talagang hated this person because when we set up Julius as a senior pastor, kala niya siya yung magiging pastor. Kaya hurt na hurt siya. So, lagi niya nilalait si Julius, lagi niyang sinasabihan, ito writer ng writer ng newspaper. So, very eloquent, very lawyer pa, talagang galing, pero talagang very divisive. So sabi ko, Lord, ano gagawin ko to? Kasi pag inano ko to, pag binanatan ko to, pinalis ko, sigurado he'll write about me in the newspaper. In fact, there were times na pag nagpipreach ako pag Sunday, he will counter what I said in preaching sa editorial page niya sa newspaper. He would say things parang in essay, he won't say my name, pero alam niya meron mga sinabi ko. So sabi ko, kapal nito ah, sabi ko. So ang nangyari, he actually said, he came to me, he said, I don't know if you remember this, he came to me and just said that the Lord's gonna call him to another church. I was leaping for joy in the inside. I was like, wow, really? Sabi ko, that's hypocritical naman. Pero honestly, I was really happy. Because you know what? Sometimes I pray to the Lord that the Lord would take out people rather than me tell them. Kasi pag sinabi mo, they'll say things against us. Eh. Rather than when God is the one that takes them out. I think that's, for me, that's the best route for me. Pero let me say, I'm sure a lot of you guys have people from another churches, right? The advice I'm going to tell you is what Pastor Steve advised me before. He was telling me in the context of, sabi niya sa akin, if you have a church, sabi niya sa akin, even if that of another member from another Victor church comes, never assume that they know what all leaders need to know. You have, because you don't know them, allow them to go through the process and let them if he has a good spirit, let them go through the process para alam mo na naalagaan mo na monitor mo yung growth niya. Tas sabi niya, especially through with people from other churches. Sabi niya, when people from other churches come, sometimes they have a good heart, but their philosophy of ministry is so different. Kaya minsan dun tayo nagkakagulo, because they have a good heart, they want to do what they want to accomplish, what we want to accomplish. But iba lang yung dating, iba lang yung ano, that's why umiiba yung ano. That's why I tell people from another church to maybe come for a season, and then later on maybe this could be a church for you and you can stay, maybe some of you can get healed. In fact, I learned this from a guy in Penang, a pastor who's an Indian. There was a church that nagkagulo yung church, nagka church split. So 300 of that church went to this guy's church. His name is Sam. He went to his church. So sabi ko, ano ginawa mo? Sabi niya, you know what I did? I met them every week, all 300, I met them every week and I told them, parang membership class. And then sinabi niya sa kanila, you know what? A lot of you that are here because you got hurt from another church. You are welcome to come here to get healed. And then once you're healed, if God calls you to go back to your own church, that's fine with me. Go back to your church. But maybe some of you that are here, God will call you to this church. You are welcome. But I want you to know this is how we run our church. So bago pa lang sila to get involved in everything, they have to know already who we are and what we do para hindi nagkakagulo. That's why sometimes, before they even lead a victory group, it's good that alam na nila kung ano tayo, what we're for, what we believe. So, anyway, any comment with that? Yeah. Jason.
I think dati na ginagawa natin na, or I don't know kung we're still saying it in the pulpit na, halimbawa may umatid na galing sa ibang church na we appreciate your coming, but please, I don't know that word, go back to your church, be a blessing there. Parang ginagawa pa po ba natin na ganun? Or bakit natin ginagawa na yung ganun na?
Well, I used to do that when I was in Alabang. I don't know, I'm not pastoring a church now. I don't, is anybody, you guys do that still?
Kasi I guess maraming mga cases po tayo na gano'n na coming from another church.
Sometimes.
Diba na, so I don't know kung gano'n pa rin ba yung address natin sa mga
ako personally,
galing sa ibang church.
I think there's a way. Ako personally, I think it's a good idea because when we welcome people in church, but if you're from another church, I used to do that eh. You know, in fact, there was a influential couple that used to go to Alabang. Alam ko from another church. Eh, kilala ko pa naman yung pastor. So sinabi ko sa kanila, you know, you're welcome here, but let me encourage you to go back to your own church. Your pastor may probably misses you. So true enough, bumalik sila. so sinabi ko yon. So, I don't know, Rui, do you still do that in church?
I do that both in the pulpit and then, lalo na pag natunugan ko na they're from around the church, I'd immediately schedule a meeting with them. Kasi, I don't know, maybe it's not just us, but that's our reputation na already, that we are actually getting their sheep. So at least if we are actually saying it in public, people will have a ano na parang, ah, hindi naman pala nila. Tsaka, you're not gonna say it naman in an offensive way. Parang compassionate pa rin. And in fact, one story is there's this guy who ushers in the church for a long time, pastor pala of another church, and probably meron din kayong ganun. And then I talked to him. Natakot siya na baka papaalisin ko siya. Sabi ko, no, you can stay here. You can be healed and stuff. So after 6 months, nagpaalam siya ulit na he went through the leadership process, Victory Weekend and all. Nagpaalam siya na babalik siya sa church niya. Sabi ko, ang kapal na mukha mo. And then, sabi ko, of course, you can go. I mean, that's great. That I know that you can be a great help to this church na babalik siya. In fact, we want to help you pa nga. If you need training, if you need materials, our church will partner with your church. So, for me lang, I guess we can say it in a way na hindi naman parang condemning them to go back. At the same time, we are communicating to the rest of the people that we're really not, I mean, yes, we welcome them, but we welcome the new believers or
yeah,
not that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fidel.
What had happened sa amin naman yung nung sabi niya na maging part na siya ng Victory, I'll ask him kung nagpaalam na siya sa pastor, may blessing yung pastor. Ganon. So, may blessing naman. May isang instance na nakausap ko mismo yung pastor. Sabi niya mismo, pastor, mas mabuti na lang siguro na dyan na lang sila sa inyo kasi mayroon kaming hindi okay. So, they give their blessing. Parang baka mas mag-grow sila.
Para masaya sila na yeah, binigay sila yung problema nila, binigay
exactly,
sa'yo.
Exactly. Parang ganun yung nangyari. So, maganda rin siguro na may blessing na from yung pastor nila para hindi ang dating. Para we are proselyting
yeah.
them.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, so, yes.
In our case sa Cavite, no, yung lalo na sa Bacoor, I'm speaking for Bacoor, na hindi ko sinasabi yung ano, we sa pulpit, we welcome everyone. Kahit na Christians coming from different denominations. Pero pagdating ng na-process sila through Victory Weekend, before Victory Weekend, we scheduled each one of them for an interview
wow.
by the pastor. Ako, lahat tayo, no? We practice that sa Cavite. We interview them. Doon yung point na we challenge them to go back. Kung talagang, no? Kasi iba-iba yung reasons why they left the church. It's a reality kasi na people come and go. May reality yun sa lahat ng churches. So, what we believe is that when people come to our church, I hope we add value to that person. Kasi, di ba sabi nga ni Bill Hybels, 10% of the people get out of the church in a year. Kaya pag nag-grow ka ng 10% lang in a year, you'll be stagnant, di ba? You need to grow 20% or 10% yeah. or more. So, maraming different reasons why people left church. Pero, again, kung galing sa ibang church, yun ang ginagawa namin. Nag-interview lang and then we challenge them to go back to their churches.
But at some time, I think bottom line, I think at some point you'll have to have a way to be able to know who's coming in the church and not to be in a hurry or to be hasty to put people in positions and then later on, you know, it's easier. I'm sure you heard this. Everything I'm saying, it's not new, but it's easy to put people in position, but it's harder to take them out. And so I would rather be slower when it comes to putting them in position. Take longer in putting them there because you end up regretting later on na hindi pala. So, anyway. can we move on? Can we just, and then number five, as we, three more, resist competition and comparison. In John 3:26-28, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The beauty of Jesus and John, they refused to enter into the competitive insecurities that characterize ministries today. John was not interested in having the greatest, largest, or most renowned ministry. He wanted to play his God-given part. Is there such a thing as healthy competition? What do you think? Is there such a thing as healthy competition?
Pastor?
Yeah.
Siguro on the basis lang of sharing best practices and what worked for you, maybe I could learn from it. And maybe your own strength, in that way you could also help my ministry or within my church. Kasi the danger is, especially in our movement, that there are a lot of pastors rising up, and also our congregation, they also have their own preferences. So the danger here is when you begin to compare. And when you begin to compare, sometimes the spirit of competition will come in. And when the spirit of competition comes in, there will be times na you will be performing because you wanted to go to uplift yourself with other pastors or leaders. So I believe it's very important to have that mindset that this race is between you and God and never with your competitors, because I believe the enemy here is yourself, not other people or other congregations.
That's good. Any kicks?
I think we have to look at the word competition. When you say, I don't think that there's healthy competition when it comes to the church. Siguro pag business, there's healthy competition. For example, we have the same product, so kung yung customer mo mapunta sa akin, that's good competition. Pero I think when it comes to church, there's no competition kasi we're not going against each other naman. When we transfer to Robinson's Tacloban, merong existing church doon, yung New Life Tacloban. And they're...
The one of Alabang?
Yes. They're bigger than us in Tacloban. So...
Really? Nene, biro lang.
Yeah. 20 years na sila doon. But, pero I loved what the pastor told us. Sabi niya, bro, ang saya-saya ko when I heard that Victory Tacloban is transferring to Tacloban. Dalawa na tayo dito advancing God's kingdom, sabi niya. So... yung Robinson's Tacloban being the heart of the city. So parang tuwang-tuwa siya na dalawa na tayong Christian church dito. So I think there's no competition. Kasi when you say it's competition, kasi parang agawan ng customer yan. Hindi naman tayo nag-aagawan ng customer, but we're in the same goal of really advancing God. We're on the same team. So wala namang competition, I think.
That's good. Anybody else? That's good. That's a good point.
Mahirap kasi talaga yung competition or comparison kasi that's not what the church is about talaga to begin with. And yun, so most of you know yung transition sa IMO. So it's big shoes to fill talaga when John moves out. Tapos eventually moves out. So parating ganun, may comparison. Pero I appreciate Pastor John talaga na he deflects all of those comparisons talaga. And talagang it's not about the competition talaga, or it's not about the comparison, or basta yun. Ayun lang. So, and I think most of us na-appreciate natin yung nauna sa atin na hindi ginawang gano'n na, uy, nag-compare to yung gano'n na to. Kasi hindi naman dapat kasi talaga na gano'n. Nalala ko yung si Pastor Louie, wala siya, birthday niya kasi ngayon. So, yun sinabi niya. Parang sinasabi niya, at the end of the day, yun yung tinuro niya sa church planting noon, nung nagpunta kami doon. Tatandaan lang niya, ang pangalan ko si, I'm Louis Santos, hindi ako si Jesus, hindi ako si ganito. Basta hindi siya magko-compare sa ibang tao. So nakatulong rin talaga sa akin yun yung ano na yun. Kasi at the end of the day, it's not about comparing yourself to other people talaga. So yun yung ano. Pero na, mahirap talaga yung comparison talaga. So
ang ano sa comparison kasi lalo na pag kunwari palakihan kayo. Can you imagine if you were competing with let's just say another Victory Church who has more people in their Victory Weekend, who has more people that got baptized. If you're competing, kahit hindi pa handa mag-Victory Weekend, sige, Victory Weekend ka na, sige, Victory Weekend, para ayan, ano na kami, 30 na kami sa Victory Weekend. Tapos hindi pa pala handa yung mga iba. You know, sometimes because the numbers and because paramihan, it becomes like that. So you end up not really ministering. You probably know this, but I just want to say this again. It's not really how fast we do it. It's not really how the number of disciples. Ako, we should be happy if we had just have one who's, you did it well, you know, this person, you imparted your life to that person. I think we should be happy that we even have one or two because for me, it's not, I agree with Kix. It's not about competition. Talking about competition, let me tell you a story, but I will not give specific details. We planted a church in this city, and then it was close to another mega church. The pastor of that mega church calls me, was so angry with me over the phone. And of course, this one is, don't repeat the story because was angry with me over the phone. Sabi niya, why are you in that location? Don't you know that in ministerial ethics that the churches should be certain kilometers away from each other, and you're just only a kilometer away from me. And you know, my members might go to your church, and your members might go to my church. Di ako naman very gracious. Sabi ko, I appreciate your concern, and I just want you to know that if there are people from your church that will come, I will in fact tell them to go back to your church. And I just want you to know that we're here really to reach lost people. We're not here to get people from members from all the other. Oh yeah, you should do that. Gumon siya. So talagang binaba ako, sumbong ko kay Pastor Steve. So si Pastor Steve natawa kasi kaibigan niya. Anyway, man. So but you know what? Right after that, because I was so gracious to him and the Lord, but just by the grace of God, we actually became good friends. And in fact, there's a time that in this city, we started going out lunch every month. But it's a reality kasi when people get threatened by different ministries, by different, that's why the beauty of John and John the Baptist and Jesus, there was never a healthy, there was never a competition or comparison with them. So anyway, I just wanted to appreciate your comments. Anybody else want to say? Yeah.
At some point, baka we can consider a healthy competition can be you're competing with yourself. Parang instead of other people, you're setting faith goals for yourself. Kung dati, this were your established disciples na ginagawa. Siguro it could be healthy if you're just believing God for more. You're competing with yourself with regards to.
I think in a sense, when you say competing with yourself, it's like knowing what God has called you to do, and just do what God has called you to do. It's, diba? Parang anyway. So, anybody else want to say something? Yeah.
Siguro, Pastor Jojo, it helps then if you'll be part of a ministerial fellowship sa body of Christ. Kasi kung if there's this particular church, parang akala nila, kasi tayo, di ba, pag pumasok daw tayo, parang SM. Yung Victory daw, sabi nila. But, parang pumasok daw, SM, sabi, yung iba, sabi nila. So, parang for you to connect and also to avoid this competition, kaibiganin mo yung mga pastor doon sa city na yon. Tapos, yun, kasi may na-experience ako, so kaibiganin mo lang, pakainin mo. So, eventually...
Okay na sila pag pinakain mo na eh, di ba? Praise God. Okay, let's move on. Lesson number 6, make Jesus your source. Even when ministry began to decline, John was able to maintain his internal equilibrium because his source was not or has never been ministry success. So, I don't have to just prolong this point, but I think we all know that the source of life and fulfillment will always be Christ, not anything else. It's Him. You'll never really graduate from the basics of reading the Word and worship and prayer, because those are the very things that continually fill you up. And no matter what, and I'm telling you guys, I believe in victory, but I also want to say that in the number of years that I've pastored, there's always going to be ups and downs in your ministries. There's going to be times where it's going to be painful. There's going to be times of victory, times of weeping, times of crying. There's going to be times that's going to be difficult. But as long as you make Jesus Christ your source, make Him the center of your life, the center of everything, then I believe it's going to be the Lord's going to begin to stabilize you. Never live for the accolades of people. People are fickle. People they like you. How many here you feel good when you preach well? And they go to you and tell you, Pastor, galing-galing ng preaching nyo. Tapos sa loob-loob mo, syempre naman. Diba? Parang you feel good. But you can't live with that. We have to learn to live by the approval of God, by the approval of our King. And I don't know about you, if you guys are married, how many here after you preach, you ask your wife if you preach well? Anybody here? How many of you don't like when your wife tells you that your preaching wasn't that well? The beauty of our wives, but they tell us exactly how it sounded. I don't know about you. If your wife gives you a comment of how you preach, kunwari, maraming negative. How many here, parang, bira ka naman. Our wives brings us back to reality kasi. You know, that's why I appreciate my wife who constantly tells me, alam mo, Joy, ang haba ng introduction mo. Parang sabi ko talaga, mga ito hindi mo na kailangan sabihin eh. Parang gano'n, okay. So, sino dito nag-aaway kayo? How many here you don't ask feedback from your wife? Sino? And guys, let me also say this, that never use the number of people that go to your church to validate who you are. Whether that big number, whether small number, never, ever, ever feel insecure just because your church is not growing. Let's say another Victory Church, the church is growing so fast. There's some Victory Churches that are growing small. But, you know what, guys? Believe me, it's not about that. It's not about it's just you being faithful to the call of God. So we used to get insecure going to pastors' meetings because nga, sometimes when you hear reports of different Victory Churches that are growing, tapos sa'yo, hindi, di ba? Parang that's why make Jesus your source, not your numbers, not your the accolades of people. Make Jesus your source. Number seven, lesson number seven. I'd like to be faithful with the time that I gave you. Respect legitimate ministry differences. Matthew 11, 1-3, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And then verse 16, to what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, we played a pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Obviously, the ministries of John and Jesus were different. When it talked about flute players, it talks about joyful, hopeful. The dirge singers talks about judgment, somber. I mean, the ministry of Jesus are totally different. Totally different. John the Baptist ministry was fire, brimming, repent, you know. But Jesus' ministry was more of, was different. And some of us will kind of think, you know, the ministry of Jesus was too soft, panay grace. You know, the ministry of John the Baptist, panay legalistic, panay you have to do this. But many times you have to understand different ministries, God designed them to be that way for a reason. And that's why many times you have to understand that there are legitimate differences of each ministry to complement each other. They're not... Let me just say this. Did you know that I'm not balanced as a minister? I'm not. All of you, you are not balanced as a minister. What balances you are the people around you. Because I'm a prophet. When I say things, they're not balanced. But when I'm with Dre, I'm more balanced when I'm with Dre. Because that's why the beauty of being together is that we're balanced together. But left to ourselves, we can never be balanced. Even if we try, because there are biases in the way we think and the way we communicate because of the giftings God has given us. So what balances us is the people around us. But the thing is, we have to learn to respect legitimate ministries that are different from us. There are ministries outside there that are different from us. A lot of people, of course, I don't want to be controversial about Joseph Prince. He's different. Some people like him. Some people don't like him. Some say it's theology. Some say I don't. But there are hundreds and hundreds of people that get blessed with his ministry. I don't want to be the one to say that, you know, there's some. I don't want to make a comment on that. But looking at Joseph Prince, where he is in Singapore. Singapore is a culture that's driven by works, driven by you have to do this to earn this. It's all about that. Isn't it sometimes in his wisdom God put a Joseph Prince in a culture that is so into law, rules, and performance? In his wisdom, I'm not defending him. Okay, don't get me wrong. But maybe there are people that are strong, like example of Mark Driscoll. You guys know Mark Driscoll, right? Anybody heard Mark Driscoll preach? That guy preaches an hour. And that guy preaches hard. If you go to Seattle, man, that city of Seattle, it's that everybody does what they want. It's a culture where, man, let's get high. Let's get, everybody's just, can you imagine God put a Mark Driscoll in a city that's totally, totally ungodly. And sometimes in a ministry, and sometimes we could judge different ministries. That's why if you look at the ministry of Jesus and John the Baptist, they're totally different. And but in his wisdom, God used both, you know, of those ministries. Amen. I don't have time for comments for that, but let's start. Let's go to the last lesson. I hope did this help you guys? Lesson 8, resist offense. I think I read the scripture after Jesus had finished instructing his 12. He went on from there, and then John, basically, he was in prison, and then he said, nagpadala siya ng mga disciples, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone? Isn't that a funny question? Isn't we all know earlier today that John the Baptist, through the Spirit, he saw Jesus, that he was the Messiah, so he knew. Then what happened to John the Baptist? What happened to him? All of a sudden, nagpadala siya ng mga tao to ask Jesus, ikaw nga ba talaga? You know what happened to John the Baptist? Prison happened to him. He was in prison. And while in prison, when everything was falling apart, at least for his life, and then pinatanong niya kay sa mga tao niya, are you the one? And they went to Jesus, and you know the answer of Jesus? He said, tell him the blind see, the lame walk. In other words, he was saying, don't focus on where you are. Focus on what God is doing. And sabi ni Jesus, he said something, I hope blessed are those who's not offended because of this. Why would John be offended? Because if Jesus can perform all these things, he can perform miracles and all this, bakit ako hindi ako i-rescue dito from prison? And sometimes in leadership, there's always going to be opportunities to be offended. There's always going to be opportunities for people to ignore you, especially in victory. You know, to tell you honestly, I love victory. I love my family. I love our community. I've been here for the last 30 years in this ministry. But if you're going to ask me, you mean you've never been offended? Oh, gosh. Been offended so many times. But you know what? I didn't let offense rule my heart or get me. Because if I let offense take a hold of my life, I wouldn't be here. But there's going to be many opportunities for us to be offended by our leader, to be offended by your pastor, by your overseer. There's going to be people like that. There's going to be times that people in your congregation, the people that you love dearly, will offend you. By the way, this person I was telling you about that was writing against me in the newspaper, guess what? This guy became my best friend. He ate in my house. I ate in his house. His family, we were so close, super close. And then, tumaob. Did anybody ever experience that? People that you're so close to, and then all of a sudden, tumaob and started going the other way. All I did was show kindness to him. But because the pastoral role was not given to him, was so offended that he ended up coming against me. That was, I was so hurt to the point that I didn't want, there was a time that I didn't want to become a pastor because sabi ko, hirap pala maging pastor, no? Parang gusto mo manapak? Parang ngayon, I don't. Anybody, you know what I mean? Sometimes, diba, parang tayo ang babait natin, diba? Pero parang sometimes, to tell you honestly, gusto ko sanang, naku, gusto ko bigyan ng five-fold ministry, diba? Parang, anyway, so basically, those are some of the, if we learn all of this, I believe that we're, God was going to take us far. Don't let all these things rule us or hurt us. Amen? I hope that helped.